I'm really well. Thank you very much for doing this.
Only a pleasure.
I wonder, do you think we get a better voice quality if we turn the video off? I'm not sure about that.
Oh, let's try. Sure. I've also got my, if you want to try my cell phone, we can also do that.
I think the Skype is sounding a bit better than a phone, so I'll stick with that if that's okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Great. Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for doing this. I take it that your research looked, I guess, beyond the UV giving the blue tongue its colour, but why it's evolved that way?
That's correct. I guess it all started just with the fact that we're very interested in animal signals and colour signals in particular. And here's the blue-tongued skink with this ridiculously blue, highly conspicuous tongue, and nobody's ever really figured out why it has a blue tongue. And in the last couple of years, there's been quite a bit of work on what we call dimatic displays, and it's a particular kind of anti-predator display that some animals use to basically startle a predator or overload their sensory system and cause them to halt an attack.
And, okay.
Yeah, and give them an opportunity to escape. And we sort of hypothesized that the blue tongue might in fact be a dimatic display. So we tested. So that's what we tested in this study.
Great. Well, thank you, Martin. There's about a minute left on this song, so I'll come to you after that.
Okay. Okay.
Great. Sorry. I didn't mention the song was still playing, but we're live to air in less than a minute.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, Martin. Last word. Surrounded by his favorite emoticons, he had a million followers, but to his funeral no one came. We're here today to bury Harry. Beautifully mad there from the South Coast, and what a great song that is. We're here today to bury Harry, a cautionary tale about the pitfalls of getting too involved in social media. Okay, been teasing you with this question all morning. What makes a blue tongue lizard's tongue so blue? Most lizards, of course, have that regular pink tongue, but not the bluey. Researchers have found the tongues are not only blue, but they have a very pure UV component. And the most obvious UV is at the back of the tongue. There's now some evidence around why the blue tongue has evolved this way. Professor Martin Whiting from the Department of Biological Sciences of Macquarie University is one of the researchers behind a study which was recently published in the Journal of Behavioural Ecology and Sociobiology. And I'm very pleased to say Professor Whiting joins me now via Skype. Hi, Martin.
Good morning, Simon. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's so good to have you to talk about this. This is fascinating. Can you tell us a bit more about the elements or the UV factor behind the blue tongue's tongue colour?
Yes, absolutely. So we've done quite a bit of work on colour signals in lizards, and often UV is associated with blue. And being curious about lizard behaviour, it seemed that blueys might in fact have a UV component to this signal. And of course, we can't see in the UV, but we've got equipment that we can use to measure UV or detect UV. So we thought, measure that a bluey's tongue and just find out exactly what's in that color. And sure enough, there was this amazingly pure UV spectrum. So they have UV blue tongues, not just blue tongues. And then we started thinking about why they might have this highly conspicuous tongue, and then started testing some ideas around that.
Okay, are there other animals that utilize that UV spectrum?
Yes, so quite a few birds have UV feathers, and UV is what we call a structural color. It's not made from a pigment, so it depends on light reflecting off it in a particular way. And so there are quite a few birds that have UV patches, and there are fish, and then it's very common in the insects. But the thing about UV is that it can be quite conspicuous. So on the one hand, we think these blueies are using this UV patch to startle a predator, something we call a dimatic display. But on the other hand, you know, you don't want to be too conspicuous when you're moving around. So in the case of lizards, often those UV color patches are hidden. So it might be on the throat of the lizard, and then when they need it, they raise their body up and puff out their throat.
And yes, we might have all seen that. I've seen a blue-tongued lizard. When it's feeling threatened, they don't back away, do they?
No, they don't. And the interesting thing, though, is that they tend to do this full tongue display kind of quite last minute. They might start threatening you relatively early on, but they will expose the largest portion of their tongue at the last minute, right before they're about to be grabbed by a predator. And what that does is it kind of overloads the sensory system of the predator, because they're getting this blast of a highly conspicuous color kind of at close range. So that's what we call a dimatic display. And a good analogy in humans would be if I walked up behind you and I clapped my hands loudly behind you, you would be startled, and you would need a couple of, you need a few seconds to, you know, regain your thoughts. So we think that that's really what's happening in blueies. So the really pure UV is at the back of the tongue, and the front of the tongue has some UV, but it's not as conspicuous. And that's because blueies rely on their tongues to pick up information about their environment. So if you watch a bluey walking around in the wild, they'll do a fair bit of tongue flicking, and that tells them whether there are predators, whether a predator has been in their environment, whether a mate has been nearby, or maybe a male rival, or even it could tell them something about nearby food. So they need to do quite a bit of tongue flicking when they walk around, but they don't want to be too conspicuous to a predator such as a bird either. Because birds do have UV photoreceptors.
I was going to ask about that. Which animals can actually see that UV, and what effect does it have on them? I mean, is there an equivalent a color for us?
Well, we're really just seeing the blue component. Sometimes, quite often, there is a bit of a correlation. So certainly lots of birds, but not all birds, have a UV photoreceptor. Lizards tend to have them, other lizards, so even things like a goanna that could potentially eat a bluey. Snakes have them, but only select mammals have got them. So a few of the marsupials have got UV photoreceptors, but things like foxes and dingoes and cats wouldn't have a UV photoreceptor.
Were you able to work out how effective this is as a defense mechanism?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. So that's really the next project that we're currently busy with. So the question now is exactly that. What sort of effect does that blast of conspicuous UV have on a predator? And we have built a robotic bluey, and that we can control and present to. At the moment, we're just trialing it with kookaburras, And then what we can do is we can use different tongues. So we've got a UV tongue, and we've got just a blue tongue and a pink tongue. And we can compare a kookaburra's response to these different tongue types. And, you know, we're predicting or hypothesizing that the UV tongue will be most effective. And
that's great. That sounds like fun building robotic blue tongue lizards.
Yeah, it is.
Colored tongues.
It's great fun. It's actually amazingly challenging because obviously there's the robotics side of things, which is quite tricky. And we had to get an engineering student at Macquarie to work on that project, and he's still fine tuning the robot. And then the other big challenge is making a UV tongue. It's incredibly difficult to make something that reflects in UV. It's a lot easier to reduce UV, and you know, you can use sunblock to reduce UV, but to actually create something that reflects in UV is very hard. So it basically requires an understanding of the nanostructures that make this UV signal. So we've had to collaborate with a research lab that works on nanostructures, and we managed to get a dead bluey, and then we looked at the tongue under a scanning electron microscope and looked at the actual structure of the tongue. And then this nanostructure or nanoparticle lab has worked on synthesizing UV that mimics the real tongue, and it's taken a while, but they've got it right, and so now we're moving on to the next phase, which is starting to test the robot and presenting it to kookaburras.
Fantastic. Well, I can't wait to hear the results of that. And of course, Professor Whiting, the blue tongue is one of the most widespread lizards throughout Australia. We'll have to wait for the results of your tests with the robotic blue tongues and the kookaburras. But do you suspect that its UV blue tongue might be the secret to its success?
Oh, I'm not sure about that. It definitely helps it. I think blueys are very successful because they're really a generalist species. So they eat a wide range of food types. They're essentially omnivorous, so they will happily eat all kinds of insects and invertebrates. And then at the same time, you know, they'll happily raid your strawberry patch. And they seem to do well in a range of habitat types. And amazingly, they're doing pretty well in Sydney. They do get hammered by dogs, especially, and by cats as well. And then, of course, you know, it's pretty hazardous trying to cross a road. But it's quite amazing to me that they've managed to persist in suburban Sydney. And we've seen them at Macquarie campus, and so many people have seen them pop up in their gardens. So, yeah, they're really, really successful.
Yes, and there's a lot of love for the blue tongue lizards, I think.
They're an Australian icon, that's right.
Absolutely. Professor Martin Whiting, now we know so much more about the blue tongue lizards, and particularly how they got the tongue that's given them their name. And, I'd love to catch up with you after you have some more results from the robotic blue tongues and the kookaburras. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Simon. Yeah, we look forward to talking about the robotic blue work in the future.
That would be great. Professor Martin Whiting there, he's from the Department of Biological Sciences at Macquarie University in Sydney. There you go. Now you know why the blue tongue has that blue tongue. It's 11 minutes away from 10. Lisa Markham on your radio after 10 o'clock this morning. You'll hear about an amazing youth concert which is coming to the southeast, and former New South Wales Premier and now author Bob Carr talking about his new book, Run for Your Life. That was great. Thank you, Martin.
Oh, thanks so much, Simon.
And, great stuff. I will try and catch up with you when you've published more results.
Absolutely.
And congratulations on the twins again.
Yeah, thanks very much. I was a little bit worried because I didn't get a huge amount of sleep last night.
Ah, yes, they don't let you do that.
They sure don't. Thanks very much. Yeah, so this is actually, this interview was done in a small room in Gosford Hospital.
Oh, well done. I thought you must have made it home.
No, we're going home today, but I managed to get them to loan me this little interview room. So it worked out perfectly.
Well, thank you so much for making it a priority. You would have had more than a good excuse to tell us that you didn't have time.
Only a pleasure, Simon. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. All the best.
You too. Thanks, Simon.
Bye.